ready to have your mind
exploded?
This is PlayStation Radio UK.
Thanks, man. This is 97.3. You're listening to PlayStation Radio UK. I'm Simon, as usual. With me is Patrick, back from Japan.
It's been a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's unusual talking to you in this format.
Did you miss me?
No.
Okay.
Ben is here.
I'd miss me, if I was you.
When he goes home, he lives in a shed, basically. He doesn't get internet there, so he can't join us. Until next week.
You don't think too much of me.
you're still on that, aren't you?
back to the old awkward silence there.
Yeah. So, how's your week been?
It's been super. I've been lazy as shit. It's been Christmas, New Year's, good times, celebrations, sadness about not being in Japan, but what can I say? More importantly, how about you?
Thanks. Yeah, not bad, just Christmas, New Year. Scotland has a different New Year from everyone else.
Hog pony.
No, we celebrate our New Year in July.
Why?
We don't, actually.
That's the Chinese!
Is it?
I don't know, Chinese New Year's different, isn't it? That's like
yeah,
March.
They name it after things like, you know, the year of the Nintendo DS.
The year of the rat.
The year of the mug.
The year of the yeast.
Yeah.
Year of the table is like what?
Yeah, I woke up this morning at 8, which is early for me.
Holy shit!
I know, because the wind was hitting my house at like 200 miles an hour. The lead sheeting that goes along the slates all blew off, the trees in the road and all that kind of stuff. It was pretty chaotic.
Oh, dear.
I was fearing for my life.
Sounds awful. Yeah. That's not good. You could have been sucked out the window there. You could have been just left on the streets.
Yeah. There was people in the nearest town to me with like sheds and stuff blowing away. Which isn't fun.
I mean, trampoline. Trampoline.
If this happened to Ben and he was in his shed sleeping, he'd get whisked off to fucking the Wizard of Oz land.
I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah, so you went to Japan.
I did, yep.
You haven't... I was trying to find your little Japanese sections because I didn't listen to them. So I went back to listen to them last night. You know, it's homework for this episode. And I found out you haven't done one for two episodes. The two last episodes, you haven't done one.
No, because I guess I was in the process of coming back, so...
that takes 2 weeks.
It's a long way. But I just recorded a bumper one that's like 10 minutes long, so...
Yeah, we'll have that at the end of this episode.
Sure, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Stay tuned, kids, it's really emotional, inspirational, recommended.
Okay. Yeah, so you don't have anything to say about Japan? Now that you have the chance.
I didn't say that. I could say many things. Country. People. Beautiful. Chair. Stick. Rod.
You were telling me that you went to... my pen's chucking about. You were telling me that you went to... a Buddhist monk? Not a Buddhist...
Went to a monk.
You went to a Buddhist temple?
Yeah, I did. I went to several. They're all over the place, actually. A lot of the time, it's not like it's not strictly like just for Buddhists. Like anyone can just walk about there and have a chill.
Did you shave your head?
Yeah.
Did you wear the little thing?
A little
costume.
A costume. No, I didn't.
So it wasn't a fancy dress party, no.
No,
I mean like a Buddhist, like, you know, dressing gown type thing.
The robes, I guess. Yeah, I didn't actually get a chance, but they're quite cool.
Yeah, I hear they give you like a plus one to illusion spells and stuff.
Yeah, so I've heard, but they weigh quite a lot and they stink.
That's pretty much all my knowledge of Japan, other than that one place in Tokyo where they have all those like crossings people walk.
You're probably thinking of Times Square
in New York.
Yeah
probably. It's like the equivalent tourists there.
Yeah, I should say I went to a bunch of places. I went to like Tokyo, which I talk about in the thing at the end of the episode, so check that out, kids. Also Hiroshima, Kyoto.
What's that like
all
now?
Over the
because
place.
Obviously it got, you know, flattened.
Hiroshima.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is
it all built again?
Yeah, it's just like any other city, really. They've just preserved this one building that got wiped out nearly, and there's just a bit of it. It's like a memorial. They've got like a big peace museum there now.
Yeah, you hear about some of the walls would have like the silhouette of people because of their, like, you know, they got disintegrated and blown against the wall.
Yeah. They had one of those in the museum that they'd preserved. It was pretty emotional to see. It's just like this guy's figure bleached into the wall. It was like, holy shit, why did we do this?
Well, we didn't do it. That's pretty much all I have to say. I went to Auschwitz ages ago. Sounds like a pretty similar kind of experience. They had these big glass cabinets, like, full of... They used the hair of the Jews to make carpets.
Christ.
So they had in one of the cabinets, like, the hair and then the carpet and, like, a half-made carpet.
Did the carpet match the drapes? Fuck. Horrible.
Why would you say that?
Shit.
Also, they had, like, you know, lampshades made out of skin.
Christ.
And
that wouldn't even be efficient, would it? Because skin's, like, really thick. So
the worst thing for me was, you know, there was a big pile of kids' shoes, and next to it there was, like, suitcases.
Mm.
And they put on them in white paint where they live, because they didn't know they were going to go there and get killed.
Right.
Yeah, anyway, it was pretty weird to see.
It sounds it.
Did you go to Iwo Jima?
Did I go to what?
Iwo Jima.
Iwo Jima, no.
No, I thought you said you did.
I went to Miyajima Island.
It's got a really similar name.
Yeah, it's quite similar, isn't it?
What's that famous for, that one?
I don't think it's the same thing. That was just an island where they had a bunch of deer.
Oh, yeah. Because you told me you went to Iwo Jima. Well, that's what I thought you said. I've seen the Clint Eastwood film where, you know, everyone's dying and getting blown up and stuff.
Right.
And then you were like, I saw some deer. And I was like, yeah, nice one.
No, I went to Miyajima Island, which is like near Hiroshima. So
the one place I would want to go to if I went to Japan would be, there's this island I've heard of, and it's a whole town on it, and it's just left, kind of like Chernobyl.
Right.
So it's like, you know, I played Enslaved. Have you ever played that?
I played the demo.
So it's kind of like cities that are kind of, you know, being reclaimed by nature and kind of taken back.
Right.
Covered in plants and stuff. I don't know. I just find that kind of interesting to see.
It does sound cool.
So you should go back.
I definitely plan on going back ASAP, to be honest.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. When you were there, you got the PlayStation Vita.
I did.
So let's move on to Game of the Week.
Ooh.
You can talk about Uncharted Shadows of Gold and...
Uncharted Abyss.
Abyss of Gold.
Golden. Silver Scrape.
Silver and gold.
Silver and gold. Silver and gold.
Whiterun in autumn. The burning of a blacksmith's forge. The sawmill in Everstead. The salmon of Lake Illinalta. Stenchamata perfuminella, the new fragrance from the College of Winterhold. The perfect scent for those that smell like the arse end of a mammoth, but are looking for a wife or husband in the kingdom of Skyrim.
Not suitable for those allergic to vampire dust, troll fat, giant's toe, dwarven oil, or human flesh.
Yeah. I can talk about that.
Okay, so... you went to the store, you got your little Vita. How did you manage that?
My good friend Martin, a.k.a. DJ Mizuhara.
Oh, from okay, yeah.
Red Sun Gamer, yeah. We hung out a bunch over there. He's a really cool dude. But he pre-ordered a bunch of them, and he managed to pre-order one for me. And, I got it, pretty much. That's all there is to it.
So there's two versions. There's one with Wi-Fi, and there's one that you can use anywhere you go.
Yeah, the 3G online version, yeah.
So, if you can only use that in Japan, was there much point in you getting that version?
I think it's kind of up in the air as to if you'll be able to use a different SIM card in there, mm-hmm. which would be able to work with Vodafone over here. But if you can, you know, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Because I was really not sure which version I was going to get, because, like, Wi-Fi would make a lot of sense, just because, like, I don't know if the 3G would work, but I thought I'd just go all out, like, balls deep and get the 3G, so...
Balls deep. Nice.
Balls deep in tech.
So you got what games?
Yeah, I got Uncharted Golden Abyss, which I have now finished, and
fella.
And Everybody's Golf, what was it, 7? 70,
71.
7, 4, 3? 79. 6. I think it's 7.
Anyway, what else did you get?
Do you want to hear about them?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
I want to hear about Uncharted.
You want to hear about Uncharted? Okay. Well, what can I say? It's a console game on a handheld. Like, the graphics just blew my mind. It's got, like, every bit of detail that you could imagine. It doesn't feel dumbed down at all. It's a really, really slick game.
Was it made by Naughty Dog? Or was it made
It's another developer that... is just working on handhelds. I think they were rumoured to be working on a Siphon Filter game for Vita for a long time, but now they're doing this instead. I'm just trying to remember their name. Might have to give that a cheeky...
Is it Well-Behaved Dog?
That would make sense, wouldn't it? But hang on, give me a sec. Kill time, Simon. Do a little song for like 10 seconds.
Picture a taxi in India. Humbalele, 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 humbalele. Did it
that
go
was
on
a good
time?
Effort.
Thanks.
I think... God, I'm ripping through this manual right now.
Anyway, so, you know, the Vita has only one R1 and one L1. There's no, you know, there's no R2.
Yeah.
No L2. But it has that little thing on the back.
It does, yeah.
So, does that help? What does that do?
It was Sony Bend, I'll just say. That's the name of the studio. But, yeah, so it's only got two shoulder buttons, one on each side.
Yeah.
But at no point did it really feel detrimental at all. It's pretty standard. It's like the left one is to aim, the right one is to shoot.
That's good.
The normal games, I think L throws a grenade, doesn't it?
Yeah, and R2 is to reload, which I've always hated. Doesn't feel like it should be.
Yeah, I think reload on this game it's down on the D-pad, I think.
Yeah.
And it works fine, like it's just whatever, it works really well. The grenades actually are pretty much the only thing I had a problem with in this game. It feels really hard to just get an accurate throw, I don't know why.
I thought you were just meant to like tap the monitor or wherever, because it's got a touchscreen as well.
Yeah.
I thought you just had to tap wherever you wanted it to go, and then it just went there.
Because it comes up with a grenade icon in the bottom right of the screen, and basically you tap that, I think, and then it just goes wherever it pleases. Like, I didn't figure out how to throw them effectively. Like, of course, you manipulate the camera a little bit, and I assume that would, like, be where the grenade ended up.
Yeah.
But even then, like, if you try and be precise, you normally overshoot it by, like 10 meters.
That's a bit weird. In Uncharted, you know, console
games... Which is kind of annoying.
It's always really easy. They always give you, like, four different ways of chucking a nade, and it's always really easy to find one that suits you.
Yeah, because in the first game, you could use the motion controls, couldn't you? The six axis, and I thought, I actually didn't mind it that much, but I think they removed it for Uncharted 2, and then they just went with like the massive arrow in the sky that like projects where the grenade's going to go. But to my knowledge, they don't actually have that in this game. I could be wrong, maybe I missed it, but I don't remember them having that. It seems just like you chuck it and hope for the best.
Yeah, which is pretty much what you do in real life, isn't it?
I suppose, yeah. This game is like really over the top. It's not too true to life. It's just like, it's wacky.
I mean, if anything, that's what I don't like about Uncharted, the fact that anything you ever jump on, the second you get off it, it's going to fall.
Okay.
Or anything you land on is going to smash. Like, anyone you meet, you're going to have to kill.
It's true, but I thought of that myself the other day, but in the first game, like, the big thing they advertised was that this guy, Nathan Drake, he's like an everyman, and you can kind of relate to him, and he struggles through every jump and stuff, but now he just does it for fun, and he makes, like, these insane jumps just, like, without a second glance, and like, I kind of think they lost that side of the character.
Yeah, I only just got Uncharted 3, and the first thing I noticed that kind of, the only thing that took me out of the experience was the fact that he's making these, you know, 10-meter jumps, and everything he jumps on falls away. It's just, it gets to the point where it's just too unbelievable.
Yeah, I know, especially considering, as I said, what they did in the first game. His character's changed, like, so much. I think in the first game, he made, like, one jump that was ridiculous, but the rest of them were kind of understandable, like a reasonable distance. This time he's just leaping across the map like it's Halo.
Yeah, and the minute you have that, you know, the minute you take that for granted, it gets too difficult to actually make you not feel invincible. I was watching this kind of behind the scenes making of the third Uncharted.
Yeah.
And there's this part in Uncharted 1 where a car blows up and almost lands on Nathan.
Yeah, yeah.
And they said moment they took. They wanted the whole of Uncharted 2 to feel like that.
Yeah.
But if you make every moment like that, it's going to be like a Michael Bay film. It's not going to be, you're going to have so much action that the action doesn't affect the player. You don't really care about it after a while.
I think that's why it's important that the pacing of these games is like really, really good. And I think they kind of, I think they got it definitely right with Uncharted 2, just because there was a lot of like dialogue and just more simple little combat bits like mixed in with the crazy situations. But this time, as you say, it's kind of just big event after big event. And while that's awesome, like it does like kind of tire you out after a while.
Yeah, is that what it's like in the Vita game?
To be honest, I'd say the Vita game is more akin to like Uncharted 1 and 2. It's like somewhere in between there,
because
you've got a lot of you've got a lot of combat just taking guys out, which is really fun. Actually, it feels really like very well done and put together in this. But it's also mixed in with some like pretty cool chase sequences and like just cool stuff, cool cutscenes. Like
yeah,
you can tell like they're not as ambitious with this, but considering it's on a handheld and like it just blows my mind still.
Yeah, what about the plot line? Because for me, that's the best part of the Uncharted games. Well, no, it's not the best part, but it's the part that has to be good, otherwise you're not going to want to play the game.
Yeah, I think it's really well done in this game, actually. It's I won't spoil anything, but I'll throw in a few characters if that's okay. So you've got this girl, Chase, who is kind of somewhere in between Elena and Chloe from the other game. She's sort of, she can defend herself, but she's also kind of vulnerable. So, yeah, she's a cool character. She's basically looking to, because her grandfather also used to be an explorer and stuff, and she's trying to follow in his footsteps. And okay. She's just trying to keep up his legacy, really. You've also got this... what's his name? You've got this bloke. I want to say Flynn, but I know that's not his name, so I won't say Flynn.
He's the guy in Uncharted 2, isn't he?
Shit, he is. God damn it. I didn't do my research, and I just played this game. He's... He's sort of like a wisecracking guy. He's a lot like Nathan Drake. He's he starts as your partner. I'll say that, and it just goes from there.
Okay.
Yeah, but the supporting cast is really cool. Actually, I like him a lot.
Where does it fit in the Uncharted timeline?
That's another thing I kind of wanted to research.
You played the game and you don't even know.
I played it and I was kind of soaked into the gameplay.
Is Victor Sullivan in this game?
Perhaps. Not substantially, but...
Okay.
You might see him in there.
Yeah, so I've just finished the third one, and the reason I like it more than two, because you were asking me about that earlier, is that there's a lot more character building. You actually learn who these people are, instead of just looking at the back of their heads and killing things.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the only reason I like it more. Apart from the fact that the ending isn't quite as far-fetched as one or two.
Yeah.
It's still a little bit far-fetched. And,
A little bit, yeah.
Uncharted, the stories are always kind of similar, start, middle, far-fetched end.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised they've gone that way with all of the games so far, and, like, to be honest, the Vita one does sort of follow in the same footsteps, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's the same as the action thing. The minute you have a far-fetched ending all the time, you're not going to be as impacted by it as you would if it was once in, you know, four games.
Yeah, I think maybe they'll try and change it up in the next Uncharted game, should there be another one.
Well, they're making The Last of Us now, aren't they, so...
Yeah, but I think there's two studios internally within Naughty Dog now.
Oh, is there?
I think there is, yeah. One of them's doing Last of Us, and I guess one of them might also be doing some Uncharted stuff in the future.
And there's also the Vita games. There's probably going to be another one of them, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there is. I mean, at a guess, I'd say this is in between Uncharted 1 and 2, the timeline, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
It might even be before Uncharted 1, but you never know.
Anyway. Right,
I say you never know. I could quite easily find out. I just have chosen not to.
Bastard. Is there anything else you want to talk about to do with Uncharted? That's our game of the week. You can talk about
it. I'll just chime in with one of the things that I enjoyed the most out of this game. There's a lot that I enjoyed, but it's quite specific, but the sniper rifle and the shooting with that, it's like some of the most satisfying just shooting I've had in a very long time. You can use the pad on the back to zoom in and out. And once you've done that, you can also use the thumbsticks to look around, or you can actually move it using the gyroscope, so you can actually move the console around and you can see guys using that and focus in on them. Works surprisingly well, and I would just have to say I want to praise like all of the touchscreen integration in this game. It works like so well.
I saw a video with the climbing that you can just like kind of make a line and Nathan will follow the thing you painted. Doesn't that make climbing a bit too easy?
Well, to be honest, I'd say it's ridiculously easy anyway at this point in these games, but I mean, if there's just a massive slog and you know you've got to climb up this huge thing and, like, you might think, oh, I just can't be bothered to press XXX, you know, it's kind of a nice option to have. And also, it's pretty cool because there's, like, an element to this game that isn't in any of the other Uncharteds. It's you find little artifacts and stuff that go along with the story, and he'll say... it's covered in dirt, you need to wipe off the dirt with the touchscreen and stuff, and it seems kind of like it's a nice touch. I think it's cool. And they don't overdo it, so it becomes like tiresome, and you've got some puzzles like to solve with the touchscreen as well, so I think it's really good. It's really well done. The studio is definitely Sony Ben. They're gonna put out some other excellent stuff for the handheld, I think.
Yeah,
if you've got any reason to buy the PlayStation Vita at this point, it's going to be this game.
It sounds like it. You know how you got it in Japan? How easy is it to change the language to English?
Oh, it's easy. It's like during the load up, it says, "Do you want this in English?" And then you'll just say yes. Like, it's completely easy.
Okay.
And this game as well, it's default in English. So yeah, screw you Japanese people. It's just, you've got Nolan North there, whether you want it or not.
they just listen to his voice. They don't care what he's saying.
So soothing.
Yeah. So yeah, let's move on to the news.
Let's do it. News time. It's time for some news.
Good afternoon. Here's today's top stories. PlayStation Vita might need a price drop in order to sell, says Forbes magazine. Twisted Metal will be shipped with a wee surprise. And you can now sign up for the Dust 514 beta. Welcome, I'm Willie McPinch. It seems the PS Vita isn't selling as much as Sony would hope, with all the details as a ball of yeast.
I've just travelled back to Japan, and after another 17-hour flight, I haven't learnt anything new. What I do know is that the Vita isn't selling well at all. In fact, I went undercover into a store in Japan and observed as there was barely even a queue for the system on launch. Earlier, I sat next to Taro Kutina on my second plane. He's a boring cunt plur, but he writes for Forbes magazine and told me, the portable console market may now have entered an age of permanent, slowly accelerating decline.
Looks like David Jaffe is going to try and please us gamers with his cheeky wee surprise. Here's Yeasty Balls with the details.
I've been following David Jaffe, the creator of Twisted Metal, for 7 months. Finally, the sneaky bastard has slipped up. I found his secret plans written in poo on the inside of a nappy that he carelessly threw away. It seems he plans to give Twisted Metal black codes to everyone who buys the new installment of the franchise. Good news for gamers, but perhaps not worth the 7 months of hardship and drinking urine for sustenance.
Finally, gamers can now sign up to be on the Dust 514 closed beta. Here's Yeast Bollocks with the story.
If you subscribe to EVE Online and have a PS3, then you're in luck and can now apply to get access to the Dust 514 closed beta. Or beta. Us normal people will have to wait a little longer, though.
That was today's top stories. We now pass over to Simon Thornton and Patrick McClellan to discuss today's stories in detail. I'm Willie McPinch, and until next time, pinch those you love, because you never know when they're going to be unpinchable. So, Patrick, what do you think of, you know, the headlines?
Well...
That's okay, so you don't think anything of the Vita, you know, the not selling?
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame, for sure, but I kind of expected it to an extent, because it's quite expensive, and I think they're going to dumb down the price, actually, for the American and European release, so hopefully that boosts it a bit. But I don't think what it sells in the first couple of weeks is going to be that important. It's mainly if it has staying power, like, over the next couple of years.
I saw a fact somewhere that the average amount of games that people have bought with the console so far is 0.92. And what killed the PSP was the lack of good games to buy. There was a couple, but people didn't really buy them.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's understandable that... that is kind of a worry for the Vita, that it doesn't have enough games, but I think looking at the lineup for the next, you know, couple years and the sort of games that are going to come, it looks to have pretty good support, and hopefully they keep that up, because I think the reason they didn't bring out a lot of stuff on the PSP, like a lot of the core titles, is because it was kind of hard to do them justice, like with only one thumbstick and that sort of you know, hardware limitations and stuff, especially shooters and, you know, action games.
Yeah. The way I look at it, though, is people like me don't go out and have enough time to, you know, be playing a game.
Mm.
And if they do, it's going to be something like Doodle Jump or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because, especially when most people have cars and stuff, there isn't really that need for something to keep you occupied for hours at a time.
Yeah, I do agree, to be honest. I think, kind of, especially with the iPhone and the market that's come with that, it's kind of killing the handheld market. And I think if this one doesn't work for Sony, like, it might be the end of the road. Yeah. Which is sad, because, I mean, there's already some outstanding titles, and I don't think it's a matter of quality. It's just, like, consumer interest just isn't there right now, but...
I think what would sell more would be... But even then, the problem with making a handheld system is you have things like the iPhone, which isn't really a gaming thing, but you always have it with you. If you have a Vita, even if you can fit it in your pocket, the chances of you taking that anywhere aren't that high.
Yeah, I know. In my unboxing, I did a pocket test, and it barely fit in my pocket. Like, it's kind of a big thing. I mean, it's really fun to carry around, and it's, like, good to play on the go, but to be honest, I got an iPhone recently, and I'm tempted to just play little quick games on that instead, just for convenience and stuff.
So, yeah, moving on, we had the Twisted Metal thing. You excited about that?
Twisted Metal Black Codes, right?
Yeah, Twisted Metal Black was the PS2 game, and now it's going to be Inside, given away for free Inside Twisted Metal.
If they can stick online in Twisted Metal Black, because I think it had online, right, on PS2,
You bought it separate, a network expansion.
Oh, yeah, I did that, but I never actually owned Twisted Metal when I had my PS2. I only got it quite recently, but... Yeah, I mean, I'd be all for it. From what I remember, Black was really fun.
Twisted Metal Black was really fun.
Hmm.
So, I'd be getting it for that. It's unclear whether it's going to be a next-gen version of it, or with online and trophies and all that kind of stuff, or whether it's just going to be a PS2 classic thing.
There's no way they could stick Twisted Metal Black in there and not have online support. Like, that is what people want from a Twisted Metal game. So trophies is another thing. Like, I think they probably will put trophies in.
At least split screen, because that was always fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, the best thing about that game was the song at the start. The Rolling Stones.
Reminder?
I see a red door and I want it painted black.
That is a good song. I didn't even know it was in that game.
Yeah, it's in the title, the menu.
Cool.
And the last story, I mean, there wasn't much news over the holidays, was Dust514 getting a beta. Not that excited, to be honest.
Stupid gaming media, having your Christmas parties and your little festivals and all your fun time. Just get back to your job, give us some news, do your job. No holiday for you. Yeah, it looks quite good, I guess. Just dusting. I haven't really seen much of it, to be honest.
Okay. So yeah, up next you can listen to Zippy talk to himself about Japan. Enjoy that.
Are you thinking of killing yourself?
Yeah. Would you rather your body went to something useful?
Oh yes.
Then join the Aperture Science testing team today and get a free jumpsuit.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Patrick, aka Zippy Patrick, and it has been a while since I've done one of these. I planned to do one of these while I was still in Japan. That didn't go so well, so I'm sorry to say I am back in England. But I'm going to go over a few things, I guess, that I missed out that I wanted to talk about. And this is going to be sort of a retrospective of my last couple of weeks in Japan, I guess. sorry, I think the main thing I'm going to be talking about is Tokyo, because I went on a crazy trip to Tokyo that I guess sort of deserves its own little mention, because, you know, Tokyo, it's kind of the shit. So we went up there for a weekend. We went to Akihabara. That's one of the first places we went. It's quite famous. It's one of the geek havens, I guess you could call it. There's loads of anime and dodgy fucking hentai and just disgusting stuff that I wouldn't care to indulge in otherwise. But a bunch of us went, and it was kind of very strange. We went into some... 18 plus areas just to see what would be there, and there was an abundance of sex jelly and other stuff that I shan't talk about. There was a particular label on one item. I think it was a honey lotion, and it had the pedo bear face on it. So I don't know if that character originated from Japan or not, but either way, kind of made me feel uncomfortable, and we walked out ASAP. But Akihabara was cool. We also went to Disneyland Tokyo. That wasn't really my decision. I sort of went... we went as a four, basically. And it was fun. It's Disneyland, you know. I'm not going to go over it too much because it's sort of... You've got them all over the world, but... yeah, it was pretty fun. It was raining like hell that day. And I think also in total, we were there for like 14 hours. So, yeah, I mean, some people would say you can't get too much Disneyland. I would say... Fuck those guys in their heads, because, you know, that's just too much. I don't need 14 hours of Disneyland ever. But, yeah, it was cool, I guess. And I think on another day, this must be like a few weeks ago now, we went there, so I'm catching up on stuff, I'm trying to remember. But we went around the city a lot. We went to this place that sort of resembles Times Square in New York. And we went over that big crossing, and I took a couple of cheeky video logs that I'm still going to have to upload, so look out for those. But what's also right near there was a cool little statue for the Hatchie, the dog, or Hatchiko, who is the dog who famously waited for its owner after its owner died, I guess, and it kept coming back to the train station to wait. And it's really famous. I think they made a movie on it, and they referenced it on Futurama as well. So that's pretty cool. I got a photo next to that, so I'm very proud of that. But other than that, yeah, Tokyo was just a blast. If you guys ever get the chance, it's a stunning city, really. It looks insane, especially at nighttime. Yeah, so if you ever get the chance, I'd say go for it. Yeah, I finished with school as well when I was over there. I handed in all my work. That was extremely to the, what would you call it, like last minute, to be honest. I didn't get much of it done in advance, so I was botching it at the last minute. But I think I did okay, so nothing to worry about there. I also went to a cat cafe, which is exactly what it sounds like. So, yeah, you pay, I think it was like 800 yen to stay in there for half an hour and just pet some cats. And it's not really a cafe because you can't eat any food. So it was more of a cat lounge. And it was more of a girl thing, I guess. It wasn't my cup of tea. It was just very awkward. I just ended up trolling the cats, like filming myself in the mirror, making angry faces at the cats. And it was pretty special. But... yeah, I mean, I can't say I'd recommend that to many people just because it's a cat cafe. Like, whose thing is that? Who enjoys that type of thing? Like, if you're watching this and that sounds good to you, like, I'm sorry. It's a bit strange to me. I also went clubbing for a final time at a club over there. That was cool. Japanese clubs tend to be packed. Like, this one, I'm quite a tall guy. I'm not particularly wide, but I'm tall. And I was struggling. It was just my head poking out of this like crowd of like 300 Asian people. And I just looked very shifty, I imagine. But yeah, it was good fun. That was a good night. I'm just recalling, I think on our way back, it was me and my buddy Miguel, who's Mexican. If you're listening to this, Miguel, hola, I suppose. But we were coming back, and there were these two, or they call them salarymen, which is like businessmen who always wear suits, and they just work fucking hard, I guess. And they were drunk out of their minds, and they had a bag with about 40 McDonald's burgers in them. And they were stumbling about, and me and my friend weren't too drunk, so we were just... walking about, and we laughed at them, and we were like, like a boss, because one of them fell over. That joke's not very funny in retrospective, but yeah, so instead of reacting in sort of a bad way, they decided to give us a burger instead. So yeah, we got a free burger, and then we saw them again about 10 minutes later, one of them heaving and puking, something fierce. So yeah, rather them than me. What else? Yeah, I got a PlayStation Vita. That was on the final day I had in Japan. Picked that up. Did a couple of unboxing videos, which have proved to be quite popular. Yeah, that was good. It's a nice bit of kit. I played around with it quite a lot. Feel free to ask any questions or whatever in the comments. Also, there was a big leaving party at my accommodation. That was pretty fun. We just ate a lot of food, played a lot of music. The music was sort of, they were just playing out of YouTube, so you could put anything you wanted on. I decided to troll somewhat, and I played that Chacarón Macarón song. I'm hoping you know it's the one where it's like this Mexican dude, and he's like, and pretty much that for like 3 minutes. So I played that. That went down pretty well, certainly amongst the people who got the joke. But yeah, good times, I guess. It's just sad saying goodbye to everyone. That sucked. We also had a little leaving ceremony at the school where they just had a presentation, and we had to go up and shake people's hands and all that sort of jazz. That was pretty sad, I guess, just saying goodbye to everyone. also, well, to be honest, I guess that's about it. I can't think of anything else that I've missed. So I got my flight. That was a long-ass flight. I went once again with a stop in Beijing, which was just a refuel, then to Abu Dhabi, where we stayed for a couple hours, then back to Heathrow in England. So that was long as hell. It was a long flight, something like 16, 17 hours, if I'm thinking right. That's just way too long. Got a chance to practice my Japanese writing and hiragana, katakana, and all that jazz. So that was kind of good. I was being productive for at least a couple hours there. But I decided to watch a bunch of movies instead after a while. I watched Contagion, The Guard, Another Earth, and also Nightmare Before Christmas for the very first time. That Tim Burton singy song, sing sing spesh. That was something else. Wow. I'm so glad I did that. But yeah, I mean, what can I say? I'm back in England. Am I enjoying it? Yeah, I suppose, but I'd much rather be in Japan. I'm not going to lie about that, but I guess that's something I'm just going to have to work towards, like getting back over there. But I mean, it's been over the Christmas period, so yeah, I had a fun Christmas with family and friends, seeing those guys a lot. Just chilling out, to be honest. I'm going to be going up to Winchester, where I go to university, pretty soon. I have to move into my house, which is kind of daunting. I'll be doing that in a couple of weeks, I think. When I get there, I'm going to have to really get in the groove of working, because I hear second year is a lot harder. So, yeah, that's going to be pretty crazy, but I look forward to it, and I'm going to try and work pretty fucking hard over the next couple of years so I can try and get back over to the old Japan. So, yeah. Thank you for listening, I guess, to all of these audio logs and seeing all my videos. I hope you guys enjoyed them or got something out of them anyway. But, yeah, as I say, hopefully this isn't the last you hear from me with regards to going to Japan, because I definitely want to go back long term. So for the moment, signing off on Japan. I've still got lots of videos coming, by the way. I've got like a huge backlog of videos from Japan, something like 30 videos still to go, if not more. So keep an eye out for those, I guess. Some of them are quite good. Some of them are shit, but hopefully you guys get something out of them anyway. This has gone really long, so I'm going to sign off. This is Zippy Patrick, a.k.a. Patrick, with a better mic for once. Woo! I missed having a good mic. Okay. I'll be off then. Zippy Patrick on Twitter. Zippy P-A-T-R on YouTube. Goodbye. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Goodbye.
So that's the end of the show. That was Zippy's first... His first, he's back.
yeah, welcome back to me. Thank you for all the gifts and lovely, nourishing snacks you gave me. I really appreciate it. It's good to be back. Not particularly good to be home, because I want to be back in Japan, but what can I say?
I forgot to ask you, you know how they had that tsunami and all that kind of stuff?
Yep, I'm aware of that.
What? What was it like? I mean, was it business as usual in Japan?
It didn't really hit the part where I was staying, but from everything I've heard and seen and read about, yeah, they're pretty much back to business now. I think it really hit the like global economy and stuff, but Japan is just so sweet, they can recover. Whereas if that sort of thing happened in the States, everyone would just be like,
just like Norlands.
Norlands. Yeah.
That's how he says it at the start of Dead Island.
Oh, really?
Voodoo, you voodoo, bitch.
Voodoo, you voodoo, bitch. I'm a DJ, son.
You can't just now because our website's down. Game. Should be back up soon. And that's www.playstationradio.co.uk. For now, though, you can email us. And to do that, you type in fishandchips@playstationradio.co.uk. Also, you can follow us on Twitter, all that kind of stuff. You can get on Facebook. But until now, until next time, until now, goodbye.
You've been listening to the PlayStation Radio UK podcast. To find out more, go to www.playstationradio.co.uk and follow us on Twitter at PS Radio UK to keep right up to date.
Looks like David Jaffe is going to try and please us gamers with his cheeky... Wait. Fuck.
Okay, I'll go again. It's the... Fuck you.
Okay.
Okay. It seems he plans to give Twisted Metal black codes to everyone who buys a new installment of the franchise. Fuck. I was doing so well.
I'm gonna go on mute.
Okay, do that. It seems he plans to give fuck you. Okay. Good news for gamers, but
finally, gamers can now sign on to benefits.
Finally!
That was today's stop. Stop. That was today's stop.